Today on Wings, from prisoner to paralegal. Anybody getting arrested will experience considerable psychological stress, and even more so if she's the mother of a young child. In Kenya, as elsewhere, many women who face criminal charges have no education or tools to defend themselves. At the Shimo La Tewa Maximum Security Prison, that has changed.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Kituo cha Sharia, Legal Advice Center, is a Kenyan NGO established in 1973 to enhance equity and access to justice for poor and marginalized people. For over 50 years, they've offered direct legal assistance, paralegal training, mentoring, advocacy, and even lobbying. As of 2023, Kituo expanded its services at the Shimo La Tewa Maximum Security Prison to include a special facility where women prisoners get paralegal advice and training. Because mothers are allowed to have their young children in prison with them, the program also looks after the kids. Wings reporter Diana Wanyonyi recorded two women closely associated with creating this project, one from Kituo and one from the Kenya Prison Service.
My name is Annette Mbogo. I am the executive director of Kituo cha Sheria. That's a non-governmental organization that works around access to justice. We have been implementing a prison paralegal program across Kenya that focuses on access to justice for inmates. So we train the inmates with legal knowledge, also for them to understand the procedures of court so that they can use it for their own cases, but also they share it with other inmates. And we also train a few officers as well so that they can support the inmates. So this program has run from 2007. It actually started from Shimo La Tewa Men's Prison. Around 2011, we felt that we needed to extend this to the women's side because the women inmates would send their documents to the men's side for assistance. So we thought, why not start one also in the women's prison? So around 2011, we set up the center. And the women, a lot of them have been trained through the years, and many leave after they have been trained because they now know how to handle their cases and they're able to defend themselves adequately. But in the more recent past, between 2019 to last year, we trained 90 women inmates as paralegals together with prison officers. And as at now, those numbers have gone down from 90 to 7. The 83 have all been discharged and they've gone home. And this is just within the span of around 2-3 years, meaning that they were able to use those capacities to also find their way out. So what we did is with the support from the Austrian embassy, the Austrian embassy gave us some funds to create a space, a safe space, where the women paralegals in Shimo La Tewa will be able to attend to other inmates, and at the same time, they have what they require in terms of equipment to be able to carry out those tasks. And today we officially opened that office, which has refurbished space within the prison, and we did that also with the support of the Deputy Commissioner General of Prison, meaning that the correctional department is very excited about improving of this infrastructure for the prison so that we are able to jointly promote access to justice. And in doing so, we are reducing the population in prison. And now we all know that the population is too high. It's in fact double what the facilities can maintain. So when people are released, it also helps the Kenya Prison Service. It helps people access justice. And I think the society is made more equitable in the long run. So when we talk about poor and marginalized communities, we are referring to those who do not have resources to hire a lawyer to represent them. And also by virtue of their income or lack of it, they are not able to, maybe they are illiterate, and so they're not able to understand the court procedures. So you'd find that majority of the women, especially in the women's side of prison, are usually illiterate. So in as much as the court proceedings would be in Swahili, you know, there's still documentation you have to understand. So they will not be able to understand that for themselves. And at the same time, because they're in prison pending trial, means also they cannot afford to pay cash bail or to secure a bond for them to be released and for their cases to be done when they're outside. So this group is now the group we are saying are poor and marginalized, meaning they have a right to representation, knowledge that they can adequately defend themselves in court, but now they can't do that. And so they need assistance. And that assistance, we are not saying as Kituo that we are helping, you know, criminals to get out of prison. What we are saying is we have people who, because of their lack of income, they end up in prison because they cannot present their defense well enough. And everyone has a right under our constitution to legal representation. They have a right to a fair trial, and they also have a right to the trial being completed within a reasonable time. So if you are uneducated, you don't have a lawyer to represent you, then these rights are being violated, because you'd find many of them will just say yes to the charges that are read to them. They'll not know what question to ask the witnesses who come. They will not even know who they should identify as a witness. They will not know how they can defend or present their case. If they're on appeal, they don't know how to draft the appeal documents. And so those are the ones that we are assisting. So that at the end of the day, the court will make a decision based on a case that has been properly presented to court. And if fine, they are found guilty, that is fine, because it would have been a fair process. But if they end up not being found guilty because of the intervention, then also again you find that there would be a justice outcome.
That was Annette Mbogo, Executive Director of Kituo Cha Sharia Legal Advice Center. Kituo works closely with the Kenya Prison Service, which is also supportive of the paralegal training program. Florence Omundi is Kenya's Senior Deputy Commissioner of Prisons and the Liaison Officer for the African Correctional Services Association.
Thank you. My name is Florence Omundi Momanyi. I'm the Deputy Commissioner General of the Kenya Prison Service. Today marks a major milestone in the history of the Kenya Prison Service, especially for the women, in that today we were privileged to have the Austrian Ambassador commission a project, which is a building for use by the female inmates who are serving their sentences in Chimula Tawim Prison under the paralegal program. The project was coordinated by the Kituo cha Sheria and sponsored by the Austrian Embassy. This project is very important because it really touches on the core, and that is the child, in the sense that when you give a mother access to justice, then you know you are like making justice for the child come closer. And I'm talking about the child who is 0 to 4 years of age accompanying the mother to prison. And therefore, this facility that was commissioned today, will help the women inmates who in most cases are not able to articulate their issues, learn to understand the court process, get skills and knowledge, get empowerment so that they can be able to stand in court and defend themselves because of the support that they'll get from the paralegals who are either inmates or staff. And this project also has a facility within it for children accompanying their mothers in prison such that when their mothers are getting access to justice by being trained as paralegals or by a paralegal officer or inmate, their child can also be playing at the back of the room. We have several prisons also which have paralegalism, but you see for the women, they are limited. And you know, Shimolatewa Women Prison serves women who are serving maximum sentences, unlike the other prisons. That is, we have Langata, which is a maximum facility. Shimolatewa is also now being classified as a maximum facility because of the high-risk offenders, the terrorists and all that. So I would say this is unique, much as we have these facilities within the country. But this is unique because it's in a female institution and it serves women who are serving longer sentences and for more serious offenses. We have 106 women and 6 children as of today. But the number fluctuates. Mainly it goes up. Generally, women are marginalized. Women are poor. And some of the challenges they are facing, for example, is that they cannot access legal aid. You know, they cannot afford a lawyer. Some of them cannot afford even legal fees. Yeah? These women, some of them can also not even afford to get a relative from home to come and assist them. Women in Shimolatewa come also from the coast region, Kilifi, Kwale, up to Hola. And you can imagine that this coastal region, the women are marginalized. Not many women are economically empowered. That means that this project brings justice closer to them and addresses marginalization and the vulnerability that faces special women from around this area. But you know, a mother is a mother. Whether you've committed a crime or not, and a child is a human being, not a number. So children accompanying their mothers to prison are people. At the very formative age, at that early developmental stage of their lives, they find themselves serving a sentence when they are victims actually because of their mothers. And so what happens is that as a mother serves the sentence, she's given an opportunity to get a rehabilitation program. As this happens, the prisons have made arrangements to have the child taken care of by another caregiver. This caregiver is normally a prisoner who is trained in caregiving, but with also an officer who is trained in early childhood development and education, or one who has been given skills in taking care of children. So this child does not necessarily have to be with the mother during the day. The child is taken care of by another caregiver who is not the primary caregiver, because the mother would be the primary caregiver, so that the mother has a chance of attending a rehabilitation program, has a chance of doing other works, including even like now, when they go to court, they'll go with their children to court, you see. But when they go for paralegal training, they will not go with their children. Their children will be taken care of by somebody. This is where what we are calling skills and knowledge, because paralegalism is also a skill that this woman can use even after the expiry of her sentence. So the child does not have to be locked up during the day. That's what we are saying. And she also doesn't have to also be locked up with all the other inmates during the night. We have mother-child units. But during the day, you're introducing a concept of detaching from the mother so that you prepare the child for school going. Yeah? That school going age. You also prepare the child that the mother will not be sitting with them every day. The mother has to go out to work and the child goes to school. So you see, you are introducing this during the formative years. Yeah. That's why you'll see that even that daycare is not right inside the prison walls. It's slightly outside, so that the child has a concept of walking out, going to school, and detaching from the mother slowly, so that you help them to grow up strong mentally, and so that you also help up them to grow up able to even defend themselves while with other children, instead of staying with grown-ups throughout the day.
When she was asked how this project helped women serving life sentences, the Deputy Commissioner of Prisons gave this passionate response.
It is actually more important for the life sentence women than even for those others. Why? Those others know they will go out, whether they defend themselves or not. But the one on life sentence has no hope. The hope they have is through this paralegalism, that they are able to be empowered to defend themselves in court, that yes, they should understand the court process. They should understand also the intricacies, you know, of handling legal processes, so that as they go to court, they are hanging on to some hope, and they know that they've researched, they have done their very best, they understand their cases, they understand the implications, and that if they understand that what they did was wrong, that in itself is also important, because then it makes them know that they also have to pay back this retribution, you know. So it's very important for women serving life sentences, because it will help them navigate, you know, that court system. They will understand what has happened in other countries, because they also research and see even the best practices in other countries. And as this happens, they look forward to a time when they will go home. So that hope is very important, because it helps them hang on even when there is no way out. Prisoners are people too. They have human rights, and children accompanying their mothers are not numbers. They are people. We need them at that formative age, so that when they grow up, we will be able to have a healthy society. It is too much spending life for a child in prison. Please help us hand over these children back to society. We've done our bit with their mothers. Please help us. So by resettling them when they finish their sentences, and by taking care of their children when they reach 4 years of age or even before. Being a mother is a calling. If you find yourself at the wrong side of the law, don't give up. There's still hope. But please avoid getting yourselves in situations that will make you serve a sentence behind bars. Women, we have a divine calling. Please, before we do anything, let's think about the children that we take care of. Let's not serve sentences with children with us in prison. Thank you.
On Wings, the topic is rights and opportunities of female inmates in a maximum security prison in Mombasa. You just heard Kenya's Senior Deputy Commissioner of Prisons, Florence Omundi. Again, here's Dr. Annette Mbogo, Director of Kituo Cha Sharia Legal Advice Center, answering a question from our producer, Diana Wanyonyi.
You touched something about a plea program.
Yes.
Kindly, can you elaborate what it is?
Okay. So we as Kituo Cha Sharia, we did receive funding under the PLEAD program last year to do our prison work in Mombasa. And the PLEAD program was basically an EU program that supports legal aid and delivery of legal aid services. And the PLEAD program supports both government and civil society organizations through UN agencies. So our program in the Shimo La Tewa prison for the past 3 years was supported under that fund, but it came to an end in December. However, as the ambassador was saying, the EU has renewed that commitment and has given more funds to continue this kind of work, mainly for access to justice for communities, and they are supporting government and also still supporting some civil society groups. Mm-hmm. So one of the successes and achievements of the program has been that our community paralegals have prison paralegals in prison have initiated cases in Kenyan courts that have shifted or have promoted the rights of those who are incarcerated in different areas, to a point that some of the decisions have been landmark decisions worldwide. One such case is the prisoner's right to vote in elections. So after the 2010 constitution, the 2010 constitution did not make any distinction as to who has a right to vote, unlike the previous constitution. So Kituo got instructions. It was actually in a graduation ceremony at the Shimola Tewa Men's Prison, and we got instructions from the inmates to present this case before court. So initially, the case was filed incrementally. First, we began with the prisoner's right to participate in the constitutional referendum. And if you recall that at that time, we were voting either yes or no to a new constitution as the draft. And in that sphere, after we went to court, the court allowed them to participate in the referendum. And after that, in 2013, we said, why not file another case that now extends this right to vote also in the general elections? So we filed another case, again with instructions from our prison paralegals. And in 2013, the court said that prisoners should vote also in the elections. So what happened is that elections were allowed for prisoners, but only with respect to the presidential elections. So last year, during the election year that we had, the inmates, now without any intervention from Kituo, they filed their own case challenging the fact that the IEBC had only allowed them to elect their position of president, and they now wanted to elect all the six positions. And they went to court. Unfortunately, the case went on a bit late, and it was only after all the preparations for the elections had been done, that the court now indicated that, yes, they should actually have a right to participate from MCA going upwards.
All six.
Yes, yes. And so the instructions from the court to IEBC is that come the next elections, that prisoners should vote on all six positions. So you're seeing that that case was initiated by the Prison Paralegal Program. We supported them to file the first and second, but in the third, they went at it on their own. The other case, there's a case that was filed again by one of our prison paralegals in Kamiti. It was the Muruatetu case. This Muruatetu case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And basically, it was talking about the death penalty with respect to murder cases. So the Supreme Court in that case said that the death penalty with respect to murder cases was not proper within the current constitutional dispensation, and also said because anyway, death penalty should not be a mandatory sentence, so that if someone is found guilty of murder, should not just go straight and sentence them to death. So by virtue of that decision of the Supreme Court, many inmates were released because their sentences were either reviewed downwards because they had stayed for long, and the High Court would look at from one case scenario to the other. But later the Supreme Court gave a written directive saying that this Muruatetu decision should not apply to all not all convicts who have been sentenced to death. It should only apply to those who have been sentenced to death by virtue of a charge of murder. So there were some who maybe had been charged with robbery, violence, sexual offenses, and they were still facing that. So what the prison paralegals have done recently is to go back to court and say, well, the scenario that occurs in someone who has been charged with robbery with violence is basically the same. So can the court also extend the interpretation of the death penalty under the Muratetu case in respect to murder charges also to robbery with violence charges and sexual offences charges, so that other inmates who are caught up in the same should benefit. And the reason for this, so we're not saying that then people who are convicted of robbery, violence and sexual offenders should be released from prison. So the reason why we are supporting this is because Kenya has not ever executed the death penalty sentence from the year 1982. Yeah, so from 1982. So what happens is that these inmates who are sentenced to death, they remain in prison for the rest of their lives, not knowing if ever it will happen. And that is really torturous for anyone. Because you don't know, maybe if a new regime comes, they might now want to execute the death penalty. And we're saying that if the correctional facility is supposed to rehabilitate, so if you're to rehabilitate, why would you impose a sentence where you're not giving that person an opportunity to rehabilitate? And so that particular case looks at the human rights violation or impact that comes with someone being sentenced to death and that sentence never being executed. And even if it were executed, we're saying that any penalty should be a penalty to rehabilitate but not to terminate or kill someone. And so those are the kind of punishment that courts would prefer to impose.
That was Dr. Annette Mbogo, Executive Director of Kituo cha Sheria Legal Advice Center, speaking with Wings contributor Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa, Kenya. Not long after this interview was recorded, President Ruto commuted all death sentences to life in prison. That included 92 women. Wings thanks Diana Wanyonyi and all our reporters and supporters. They include your local community radio stations, plus community radio networks in the U.S., Australia, and Canada. Community radios offer volunteer training and involvement. We encourage you to join and support a station near you. Special thanks to WERU-FM, to Suzette Cullen, and to Genevieve Vaughan, theorist of the maternal gift economy, whose works and events can be found at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.